Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Of all God's creatures, the donkey seems to hold a special place in his heart. You find donkeys appearing throughout Holy Scripture. The donkey that followed Abraham up the mountain as he obeyed the Lord's command to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering. It was a donkey whose mouth was opened by the Lord to rebuke the prophet Balaam, tried to speak a curse against the people of Israel. Isaiah prophesied, you may hear this prophecy as we draw closer to Christmas, that the donkey knows its master's crib. And while Scripture does not specify, there are several traditions in the church regarding the Holy Family and Jesus' birth and infancy, and a donkey. Your nativity scenes that you are setting up this week, or maybe already have set up, perhaps show the pregnant Virgin Mary riding on the back of a donkey, led by Joseph to Bethlehem. Tradition says that Mary and her little boy Jesus rode on a donkey as they fled to Egypt, and again on the way back to Nazareth after Herod's death. But perhaps most of all, we have the prophecy quoted in our gospel lesson this morning. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Prophecy was fulfilled, of course, on that first Palm Sunday long ago, when our Lord Jesus Christ entered into the city of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Shouts of Hosanna, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, surrounded by crowds, waving palm branches, laying their cloaks before him on the road. And it's notable, this matter of the donkey is given special attention in Matthew's account of Palm Sunday. He devotes the majority of his account, in fact, to the acquisition of the donkey, more than the actual triumphal entry itself, even more than the praise and confession of the people. Matthew was inspired by the Holy Spirit to record the details of Jesus' command to the disciples, how, in fact, they were to get this donkey for him in fulfillment of Scripture. He commanded them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Tie them and bring them to me. Might seem rather strange, might think it would be a better use of words to tell us more about the actual entrance of Jesus, but recall that these are divine words. Every single word inspired by the Holy Spirit, every single word given purpose by the Holy Spirit, the purpose being our salvation. And therefore it is good reason that the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew to focus so much on the getting of the donkey, on the going, on the loosing, on the bringing. After all, this is what Jesus himself did. He came. Our Lord comes. This is the message of the season of Advent. Our Lord came, our Lord comes, our Lord is coming again. Our Lord comes. Long ago he came. Flesh and blood. True man, born of the Virgin Mary, yet remaining true God, begotten of the Father from eternity. He came in meekness, in lowliness, in humility, wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid in a manger, having no form or comeliness that we should desire him. Ministry, he had no place to lay his head. But our Lord came. And our Lord came to loose. He came to set free. Set you free, to set sinners free, their sins from guilt, from shame, from death and everlasting condemnation. Our Lord came to deliver. And of course, this is what he came to do on that Palm Sunday long ago, entering Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, so that in just a few days' time, he would be crucified, put to death for sinners, that his blood might set you free from all sin, from all death, and from the power of the devil. Paul writes, "The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. It was through what is foolish in the eyes of the world that God saved the foolish. It was by what is weak in the eyes of the world that God saved those who are truly weak. It is through what is low and despised in the world's eyes that God saved those who are truly low and despised. By the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, God saved the ungodly." Our Lord came. Our Lord came to set free. Our Lord came to bring sinners to him. And the way that our Lord has accomplished this is through his preachers. First, the apostles. In fact, that command that Christ Jesus gave to his disciples regarding the donkey was no new command. It was a command that he had given to them before, the command that he would give to them in less than 2 months' time. Not that they would go and set free donkeys, but rather go and set sinners free. Earlier in his ministry, Jesus sent out the 12, saying, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter into no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons." Of course, at the end of his ministry, he would again command them, saying, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, the end of the age." The Lord sent the disciples, "Go. Go and preach. Go and loose. Go and set free." This task of loosing, of untying, of setting free would be central to their ministry. As Jesus would tell Peter and the other apostles, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Of course, nothing less than the full forgiveness of sins for those who repent, but the withholding of forgiveness from those who refuse to repent, as Jesus would tell the disciples again on Easter evening. And those to whom the apostles went, those who were set free from sin, death, and the devil through the proclamation of the gospel, would be brought to Jesus, just as the disciples had done throughout his ministry. When the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus, laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. The disciples went, set free, they brought to Jesus. Of course, the apostles long since died. They've long since entered into their heavenly reward. They have long since entered into rest in the presence of their Lord Jesus. But this ministry continues. It continues to this very day. We're following in the footsteps of the apostles, our pastors, those who have been given the office of the holy ministry. We're called to carry out the very same task that the disciples were long ago. To go to sinners. Pastors go at the very call of God through that Christian congregation. Pastors are called, they are sent. And it is the will of God that they go to a particular place at a particular time. And in that place and at that time, pastors are to loose, to set free sinners. Again, through the word of the gospel, the word of holy absolution, those who have been set free from their sins are to be brought to Jesus. Pastor Kranz, God has called you to this task. God has chosen you. God wills you to be in this place this morning, in Pine Bluffs, in Grover, that you might carry out this task among his people, to preach, to loose, to bring to Jesus. At times, this may seem foolish. This may seem weak. Never forget, God's foolishness is wiser than you are. In his perfect will, he declares that he has need of you. Therefore, he has chosen you, that through you he will work. We're called to bring sinners to Jesus. This way, I suppose you are as much like the donkey as you are the disciples. Bringing Jesus in your word, your proclamation, the ministry. Bringing Jesus Christ crucified, he who is a stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles, and yet to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, he is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The word you will preach, the word of the cross, may be folly to those who are perishing, but to the people to whom you've been sent, to us who are being saved, power of God. Truly, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The name, sound, the image of a donkey is used by us to mock and deride and insult people. Yet God wills to use these donkeys at crucial points throughout the history of salvation. For this is what our God does. Our Lord God truly looks upon the poor in love and upon the needy who are in distress. Our Lord truly has compassion on the afflicted and on the downtrodden, upon those who are harassed and helpless, seeing them like sheep without a shepherd. Our Lord came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Same Jesus, who had need of a donkey and her colt for his triumphal entry, is the one about whom it has been said, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." As he who had need for a donkey long ago takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Thus we are taught once again that God chooses what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chooses what is foolish in the world to shame the strong. God chooses what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no human being may boast in the presence of God. Dear Christians, God has chosen you. Even before the foundation of the world, God has chosen you. Through the waters of holy baptism, the word of absolution, through the preaching of the gospel, God calls you to himself. That you who were once bound in sin to death and the devil, set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, set free to be the people of God, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, indeed heirs of the kingdom of heaven. The Lord wills to do this through men, ordinary, lowly, sinful men, who confess themselves to be but unworthy servants, and yet bear the Lord Jesus Christ in their mouths, preaching the forgiveness of sins, bringing the life and salvation he has won, repentant sinners. Therefore, Pastor Kranz, say to the daughter of Zion, "Behold, your king is coming to you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The fruit of this preaching is the praise of God's people. Hosanna in the highest. Rejoice. Truly the Lord is near. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Please stand. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.